As moderator, I'm going to choose the questions that have been submitted by you folks, but I will not clarify or expound on them because I didn't create them. We'll start at one end of the panel and work our way to the other for question one and then back. Now, these are very busy people, as you know. Their schedules are only going to get busier as the May primary date approaches. And one of this morning's candidates, Councilman David Tandy, has another event scheduled for this morning, so he's going to have to leave early. So what we will do is we will start at the other end of the table for our first question. And folks, you will have 2 minutes to answer this first question. If you are elected mayor, tell us the two or three things that you will do to expedite the planning, zoning, and development renewal process to make it less frustrating, expensive, and time-consuming. And we will begin at the end.
Hi, good morning. I'm Shannon White, and I'm very excited to be here. I first want to introduce myself. My biographical information is in the program. And I think why I'm running for this race is to create new opportunities, have fresh eyes, and give a new perspective to this race. Part of the process, I've talked to many commercial realtors and people involved in real estate in our city, and it is a frustrating process. I think we need to overarchingly look at everything and look through every single part of the process to streamline it. I know that we've had Walmart that's come in their neighborhood market, and they've had to go to numerous meetings about a sound wall or different logistics like that. And instead of Walmart coming in as a national retailer, they're about to throw their hands up and say, forget it, I'm going to Nashville. The Sears property on Dixie Highway that was turned into a Rally Auto Parts took entirely too long. And the fact that we have realtors that are building sewer treatment facilities out at Blank Baker Station tells us that the city is not involved enough to get the ball rolling for development. So I think we need to look at everything from the beginning to the end and try to streamline it to make sure that Louisville is pro-business in every area. With the economy and the downturn, it's time to get people back to work. If we can be more pro-business and get things rolling faster, we can get construction jobs going, people working at Jason's Deli off Hurstbourne Parkway, things like this to get people back to work and be sure that Louisville is pro-business.
Thank you very much. Same question for Chris Thieneman.
Thank you. I have a unique experience through my family's relationship in the real estate business. We've been in the real estate business for over 50 years. And one of the examples that I want to give you, besides if anybody has ever gone through the planning and zoning issue over there on Fifth Street, I think everybody would be motivated to run for mayor. It's so frustrating. I was give you one example. Last May, I opened up an Ernesto's restaurant on Valley Station Road in Dixie Highway. And Ernesto wanted to open up, he wanted to expand and have an outdoor seating facility so he could help his business grow. So we asked the board to get the approval to have outdoor seating at Ernesto's that had absolutely nothing, no residential around it. It was all commercial, all C1, heavy commercial businesses around there. So we went and asked for permission. So, and literally, I hired attorneys for him, I hired my engineers for him, and he wanted to be open for the summer. He needed that extra business. So we started in May, we then went into June, and he said, well, I hope I can get in before July 4th. That came and went, August came, and then we ended up opening up, actually getting the permit in October, after I think Ernesto lost quite a bit of his hair. I know I fortunately kept mine, but I sure was frustrated over that because I felt like that this was absolutely a no-brainer. And you know, this is a small business community, a led community. And if we are gonna have that kind of constraints on our small businessmen, you know, we're never gonna be able to keep going. Luckily, he was able to continue and he's thriving. But he's anxious that we got the permit. But over there, they've stopped being.
Thank you, Mr. Thieneman. Time is up. Mr. Tandy?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is David Tandy. I am unfortunately not going to be able to stay with you this morning. I have a commitment with the Leadership Louisville Center, where we're kicking off those mayoral conversations, and mine is the first one, and it was planned before this, so I apologize for not being able to stay with you throughout the entire time. But one of the ways that I want to ensure, you know, to see that we have a, become a city where you see that we're a city of progress, a city that's on the move, where you're starting to see cranes in the sky with new development and new projects being developed, and how to make that more efficient and make that more accessible to developers all across this great community, is by creating a one-start shop within our planning and zoning department, a shop where you as a developer can deal with one person that you're dealing with throughout the process, so that you're not having different people along the way making arbitrary decisions as to the process and how it goes. One of the frustrating things that I hear from developers who work with me, whether they work with me in the downtown Louisville where I represent or throughout this community, is that you can go to the 444 building on one day and you're dealing with one individual. Then you go there the next day to get another permit and you're dealing with somebody else. We need to streamline that process, utilizing our website and our internet services to be able to, for developers to be able to go online and fill out most of the paperwork there, to be able to get projects going and get people moving again. So that's one way that I would do that. And the second way would be within the Metro Council itself. Looking at the ways that we approve, the way the council approves development projects. We can do it in a way to where it's not, you don't have people, once a decision's been made on the local level with the neighbors, that decision's been honored by all.
Thank you, Mr. Tandy. Mr. King.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb. Good morning, everyone. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I am Jim King. I am by profession a CPA. My background was Ernst & Young years ago, and I've had my own CPA firm these last 25 years, Kenyon Company. We're out of Dutchman's Lane and Taylorsville Road. I also am involved in banking, King Southern Bank. We're about $180 million bank here locally, and do quite a bit of commercial real estate investment lending. So I think I have a pretty good understanding of what you do. And then I've done a little bit of my own work and development over the years. Certainly nothing like what many of you have done, but I understand a little bit about the process. I've actually had to go through and have buildings rezoned myself. Let me give you some specifics that I would say in the next minute, 15 seconds, that I can lay out for you as fast as possible here. First, I know that the 444 building and the review center is a good concept. I think it can work. I think you have to bring organizations like MSD to the table earlier in the process because they do not get involved as early as they should. I think there's some redundancies, for example, sewer tap connections and sewer capacity. Not only does MSD have to approve that, but then you have to go to the health department to get that approved. I see no reason to have those kind of redundancies. I think we can probably make some improvements in the planning and zoning process through the land development code, and that's something that the Metro Council, I believe, should take responsibility for. And I guess the last thing I've got to say quickly here is I think that we probably should have something like THUD, like we have BUD. THUD would be to help you dig. And that would be an ombudsman that would help you link all of the different agencies together because there's so many, they're inside LG&E, all the different public utilities, Louisville Water Company. And this would be someone that would have a direct connection to the mayor that would be able to clarify and to clear up any issues that are going on.
Thank you, Mr.
King. Down the planning process.
Mr. Heiner.
Thank you to the Louisville Real Estate Group for hosting this forum. This is the single most important subject facing Louisville and the single most important subject to improve Louisville going forward, and that is job attraction. And are we going to be pro-investment or continue on the path of the past of flatlining economically? So again, thank you for hosting this. I feel like I'm uniquely qualified to address this issue. First, as a civil engineer, I spent the first 12 years of my career, and after that, have been involved in commercial development, having built several million square feet, most of it here in the Louisville economy. I can tell you there is a problem here in Louisville. Talking to the largest design build firm here in Louisville, he said, Hal, I build both in several cities, and here in Indianapolis, when I go to Indianapolis, it's a faster review, a more professional review, a better review. But there's a relationship part, and that is they are welcoming to my investment in Louisville. He said, I'd rather build in Indianapolis, even though I'm based in Louisville. Here in Louisville, I submit plans, I submit it. It's almost an arrogant regulatory environment. You submit it, I get it back, submit it again, I get it back, submit it again. In other words, I keep submitting paper copies till they're happy. Several specifics. First, we need to have electronic plan submission. Second, we need to change the very culture of our regulatory environment to pro-investment. Third, we need to have a hearing officer to unload half of the non-controversial zoning cases so we can complete those in 90 days without the need for an architect and an attorney until you have the zoning. Fourth, we need to raise the level of professionalism. We need to have continuing education and bring in only the best people into our regulatory area. We can get there, but we need to reach out. We need the relationship part. And lastly, when people resubmit their plans, we need to have a 48-hour turnaround. It needs to go to the top of the pile and not get back in line for another 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Green?
Good morning. I'm Jackie Green, independent mayoral candidate for this, our great city of Louisville. I am neither technocrat nor bureaucrat, and don't have the answers, specific answers for you relative to process on the planning and zoning side of the equation. I do have a long history with property development, real estate issues here in Louisville. In the late 70s, I bought four old buildings on the 700 block of East Market Street. With too little capital and too little experience, I rehabbed those, put them all back into functioning uses, and sold those. I wasn't but about 30 years ahead of my time at that point. Today, I have three buildings here in Louisville housing bicycle shops. My experience, so I have a long history of real estate here in Louisville. My experience with Louisville and development has been mixed. We've been very fortunate and found Louisville metro regulations to be easy to work with on some accounts. On other accounts, I've been very frustrated, as obviously many have. I'm listening. I want to listen to you. I want your ideas on what needs to be done. I'm listening to the other candidates. I want their ideas as to how we can improve the business environment here in Louisville. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Green. And now we'll hear from Greg Fisher.
Thank you all. Good morning. My name is Greg Fisher. I'm the businessman, entrepreneur running in this race. I've created thousands of jobs around the country, and to me, the focus is very simple. You know, this election is about jobs, jobs, jobs. And I say blue-collar jobs, white-collar jobs, green-collar jobs. I don't care what color they are. That's what we need to get this economy started back in Louisville. So everything we'll do in City Hall is look through the lens of jobs. What do we want as customers? We want to be raving fans, right? So the vision is when the development community works with City Hall, they go away from that process saying, I am delighted. And right now, I know most of you are far from delighted. There's many, many stories that you all have told me that Louisville is not the best practice in the country. By best practice, I mean the quickest, the most cost-efficient, balanced to the environment, to the customer, to the neighborhoods, to the developer, to the broker. And there's no reason why everything we do in Louisville, we can't be the very best in the country at what we do. That's the type of culture that I would take to City Hall. To me, this is about culture, 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 in terms of being a community that's easy to do business with. Whether you're trying to locate here, whether you're trying to relocate here, when you deal with City Hall, you want to be delighted by that. Some specifics, an even application by the law. Too many of you all are treated too differently on the same thing. You've got to know what you're dealing with when you go with your investment. You're spending a lot of time and money. You deserve the dignity and respect to be treated by the same. The government should not tamper with your plans or tamper with your customers, trying to convince them to relocate where they don't want to relocate. It's a simple concept, but somehow we've lost track of it here. So to me, it's about a mayor that's going to be the top economic development attractor in town, fusing that culture through City Hall so when people come to locate here, they know that we're open for business.
Thank you. Mr. Allen.
Yes, good morning. My name is Tyler Allen, also a business person from this community. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to speak with you all this morning. I know this room is filled with real estate professionals, service professionals, lawyers, and accountants. And I think all of you understand this is a pretty complicated issue that faces this community. And you also, as citizens of this community, know that it is, in fact, not a simple us versus them model. I know that going into this election and this next administration, we clearly will resolve some of our issues with the turnover of individuals in the positions. There's no question that we need to streamline the process and have an application of the process. I've obviously talked to developers, been around developers to know that there are best practices with regard to be able to know where you are in the process and know the consistent application of the process. The 444 building, as we keep calling it, the one-stop shop, has not proven to be that way. Yet, you want that to happen that way. You want the people working in the business to know what they can expect. But there are interconnected layers of this. There are approval processes that developers have to deal with, whether they be MSD, whether they be transportation components of that. And if we as a community don't get out ahead of that question. So I would say process is a very important part of this. But planning is also. We spend so much time trying to catch back up to where we were. So it's very difficult for the real estate developer in the process. And then we as a community down the road spend far more than we ever would if we don't get out ahead of the process. So whether it is making planning in areas of new development out 22 or out Bargetown Road around the interchange, we as a community have to be there because we can aggregate all the parties ahead of time and work out a lot of the transportation issues, a lot of the drainage issues that are going to be would normally stymie the developers. And in that environment, the developers could know and have an even playing field and produce what needs to be produced to produce business in this community.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. We're going to ask the next question, but we're going to head back down that row again. Mr. Tandy looks like he has to depart, but we'll start again with Mr. Allen. And here's the question. A young woman wrote in and said, as a young professional in the community, I would love to live downtown where I also work, but it seems to me that there is Section 8 housing and $500,000 condos and nothing in between. How will you promote residential downtown development? Mr. Allen.
Well, actually, the very consultants, the Zimmerman Group, that this city consulted on 8 years ago when we were starting to have quite a bit of momentum in that direction, addressed that exact problem, is the fact that you need smaller, less expensive, oftentimes rental or for sale units that young people can actually afford. And in reality, that's not what happened here. We ended up promoting and developing some fairly high-end units, so it was more of an empty nest. And as the developers or the consultants will tell you, that's not the way it's happened in other cities. So we have to obviously learn from other cities, learn from our own consultants, and go down that path. So we had a loan fund that has not been nearly as tapped as it once was to do that. We also have to understand that downtown and urban development are about the street and the activities that you have there. And so one of the big problems we've had in downtown, quite frankly, is the fact that we started on a great momentum build for urban residential, and then you turn around and you discover that the city's plans for downtown don't line up with that aspiration. And in particular, I'm talking about right now, is we built some beautiful housing near the waterfront, and come to find out that the city and the state have a plan for a 23-lane-wide spaghetti junction. 23-lane-wide spaghetti junction next to Butchertown. Butchertown that is starting to thrive, a waterfront and East Main, East Market District are starting to thrive. So I'm going to come back to that issue of planning and momentum for the community. You cannot have these things basically go opposite directions, because developers who are the great entrepreneurs in our community, they take something out of nothing and they make something where we can live or work or play. But they have to have confidence that when they place that investment and when they ask someone to make that investment in housing, that they're going to get the product that they want. And so if you look in some place, if someone invests and 2 weeks later or a month later, a year later, they don't have the restaurants in the neighborhood, or they don't have the momentum going that direction, or they don't have the transportation choices they need, then no one's going to make that investment. I think that's what we faced. And so the young, less expensive unit is simply one component of that part of the real estate equation.
Well, you used all your time. That was beautiful. Mr. Fisher.
I mean, let's paint the picture of what downtown's going to look like. I mean, I think this is one of the super exciting things for our community. The arena will be opening next November. We're going to be having 22,000 people coming downtown like they never have been before. So Market Street, Main Street's going to be coming alive like it has not probably for the last 50 to 100 years. So the complexion of downtown is going to change in a significant, exciting way. That will lead to demand. You know, so many of these questions have to do with what can the government do. I'm interested in what customers want. You know, if there's enough people like this young lady that want to live downtown, you know, developers will develop downtown. Now, the government can make that easy for folks by putting some incentives in place, but primarily I think developers should move to where demand is present. Lots of times as I've been on the campaign trail here, people are asking me these either-or type questions. You know, either we can develop downtown or the suburbs. What do you think, Greg? Either we can build the bridges or have mass transit. Either we can build or we can conserve. But when you go to great cities, what you find is they have a both-and mentality, an abundance mentality, not the scarcity mentality that we hear in Louisville sometimes. So my job is to create this abundance mentality so that there's a supply downtown and out in the suburbs as well. We're getting ready to have one of the global best practices here with the 21st century parks. And people are going to live where they want to live. You can't force people or businesses to locate in any specific spot. So our job is to make sure that we have plenty of inventory available for people so they can live or work where they want to live or work. Thank you.
Mr. Green.
I'd like the questioner to contact me after this. I've got two floors on Market Street begging for residential usage. And would love to accommodate that need. I understand that need. I understand the desire to live downtown. I live downtown at 705 East Market for several years, again, 30 years ago. This is a need that must be met. It's a need that translates not only for into the need for that middle cost housing, but we need also some affordable housing in other areas of our city. We'll get back to that later on. Our urban growth pattern needs to be reevaluated. Let me tell you where I am on that. I'm committed to protecting the few remaining farms, forests, and fields that we have in this county. I am committed to taking more of our money, our development money, in closer to the city center, developing, reclaiming blighted neighborhoods, and rehabbing abandoned commercial and industrial sites. I'm running out of time. That's a place to start this conversation in the future, but that's where I am. Thank you.
By the way, sometimes it takes a long time to get from one end of the table to the other, so although I won't clarify the question, if any of you need me to ask it again, I'll be happy to do so. Mr. Heiner.
Thank you. Thank you for this question. Even though I live in the suburbs, I am committed to continuing to invest in downtown. People will not move to Louisville, Kentucky if we don't have a strong central city. Even though their home may be 10 miles from the center of the city, they won't come here unless we have a vibrant, active core. There's a lot of room for improvement. In order for more housing to come into downtown Louisville, to excite the developers about the demand that's possible here, we have improvements to make. First, downtown has to be absolutely safe. When I met a month ago with the mayor of Indianapolis about what he's doing, their new mayor, over the last 2 years, he said, we've made downtown absolutely safe. You can walk through this downtown any time of the night and have no fear. Here in Louisville, we have the front desk at the Brown saying, take a cab to 4th Street. So first, it has to be absolutely safe. Second, we need to fill in the gaps. Here in Louisville, our investment, we've tended to put our investment dollars in downtown in one basket. We have other developers, other interests, other retailers located right here in Louisville that are interested in downtown, but quite frankly, it won't happen at this point without subsidy. We need to spread those downtown economic development officer dollars to fill in 4th Street and fill in the other areas in town. And third, we need to fill in with basic services. And again, those services, that retail that we need to support the housing, isn't going to come. It's almost like a chicken and the egg. But it's not going to come at this point because there's not enough demand. So there is some subsidy. Some of those dollars that we're spending on marquee projects, We need to spread to help get services in downtown so we can build that housing base at all income levels. Thank you.
Mr. King.
Thank you. I have to agree with one point very quickly with Councilman Heiner, my colleague on the Metro Council, and that is that I think someone said we may have a scarcity issue. I don't think we have a scarcity issue. I think we have a scared issue. And I do think that crime is a significant problem. In 2003, we had 3,100 violent crimes in this city, according to FBI statistics. In 2008, we had 4,300 violent crimes in this city, according to those same statistics. So I believe that people are not going to want to live someplace where they don't feel safe. I also believe that downtown still has a stigma of not being safe. That said, this has to be a market-driven process. If downtown is safe, and we have the amenities for people to enjoy downtown, such as the new arena, I don't think there's any question that there'll be a demand for real estate and demand for places to live down here. But this isn't all about just downtown. I think that we need to be thinking about things like suburban TIFs. We need to be thinking about how we can, as again my colleague said, spread some of this development money amount around, and investing in public infrastructure. We have committed already $45 million in city money to support the development that Mr. Greenberg and Mr. Poe and the Browns are trying to put together at Museum Plaza. And, of course, that's been sitting waiting for a while, but we certainly have upcoming bonding capacity that is going to allow us to do more and more in terms of libraries and in terms of public infrastructure that could support developers who want to build downtown. And just a little commercial, I think I heard one down the row here, if someone wants to borrow money to build downtown or to live downtown, I know a bank that's lending downtown. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Thieneman.
Thank you. Yeah, I believe in free enterprise running the system. I don't think so much as that we need to direct all of our energy downtown. I think that we are a Metro Louisville now, and there's a lot of great parts of this city that aren't diversified as this resident or this young lady that would like to live downtown. I know a lot of builders and developers. I've never met one builder developer that didn't go to a market that that they thought they could make money off of. It's great as a season ticket holder for the Indianapolis Colts. I think the Indianapolis would be a great example. We had a game that I was there last Saturday night. It was an 8:30 game, and we got out of there at 11:30. And I brought my 13-year-old daughter with me up there, and we walked around, and we never thought once of any problems. And she had a blast. It was awesome. I highly recommend spending some time in Indianapolis downtown. But yet, when I take my little girl down there, down in Louisville, the perception of safety is not the same. And I think that the arena is going to be a big plus. I think that we'll definitely have the security around that. I think once we get the businesses, and then there'll be a diversified group that'll want to live there. I know that again, downtown Indianapolis, I've even looked at condos downtown, and it's so diversified. It would be great to try to copy Indianapolis, kind of like the way Indianapolis was wanting to be us and became us and much more. We got to go back and get Indianapolis and surpass them as well.
Thank you, Mr. Thieneman. Ms. White?
Thank you. As the past president of Young Professionals Association of Louisville, I managed 18 directors and tried to inspire over 1,000 young professionals when I did that. When I was there, we brought a Young Professional International Summit and brought young professionals in from all over the country and, frankly, the world. People, when they came here, were so surprised to see Louisville. They said, I didn't know Louisville was so great like this. We would take them to Bardstown Road and Butchertown and all over downtown. I've always, frankly, felt safe when I'm downtown, and I think that when we brought those people in, they did too. I agree that it's market-driven, that when the arena comes and we have further development there, that more young professionals will want to live either downtown or in the scalloped edge around Louisville as well. But I also think that we need to be sure that we're developing all over Louisville. I try to use our entire community as sort of my playground. My pediatrician is off Taylor Boulevard. I've lived in Hikes Point. I've lived in Linden. I've lived in Prospect. And it's only when we stop using one developer in one area of downtown and start really trying to grow our entire community and harness the enthusiasm for Louisville that more people will want to get involved, not only in downtown, but in other areas. It doesn't just necessarily have to be young professionals living downtown. They could live in Linden or Hikes Point. It's really creating an enthusiasm that people want to get involved, new ideas, new perspectives, and opportunity for growth all over our community.
The next question will be 90 seconds, and just to shake things up and keep it wacky, we're going to start with Hal Heiner and work this way, and then start at the other end of the table and finish with Mr. King. The question is sort of two-part. Will you be a mayor that is visible in Frankfurt lobbying for issues? And whether or not you will be a strong mayor lobbying in Frankfurt, will you work closely with the Jefferson County delegation to ensure consensus on key issues? And if so, how so? Mr. Heiner?
This is also, thank you for that question. This is a very insightful question. And I think it goes first way beyond the Jefferson County delegation. You know, we've talked in Frankfurt for decades about the unfair distribution of tax money that's collected here in Louisville, and less than half returns to Louisville. Unfortunately, complaining about the distribution formulas, whether it's in transportation or education, hasn't worked. What we need to do, and what I plan to do as mayor, is to build relationships with the other urban areas in Kentucky. Paul Coombs talks about 70% of the people in Kentucky now work in urban areas. You know, Northern Kentucky, they are hungry for a close relationship. And we need to have that relationship with Northern Kentucky, with Ashland, with Paducah, with Bowling Green. We have common issues. And it's time to convince the legislature that really only appreciates when you have the votes to get it done. We need to convince them it's time to change the balance from rural investment to urban investment. That's where the jobs of the future are. So I hope to work with not only the Jefferson County delegation, but put a coalition together, build those relationships with the other urban areas in Kentucky, and then be prepared with all of the delegations to go to Frankfurt. I plan to be there, like our former judge Todd Hollenbach was there almost every day. I plan to live in Frankfurt during the legislative session so Louisville can win.
Mr. Green.
A year and a half ago, I was one of several people who organized a group called KTAP. We were interested in the financial plans for the Bridges Project. We spent 2 weeks in Frankfurt. I will be in Frankfurt. There is much work to be done in Frankfurt. Our transportation investment is going to be a huge issue. That will be one of the issues that defines this race. One of the components in transportation investment is Frankfurt's role in establishing funding mechanisms for roads, for public transit, for other alternative transportation modes. I will work not only with Frankfurt, but also with Indianapolis, with Cincinnati, with E-Town, and the surrounding cities, because this is an issue that we must go to Frankfurt together. One city can't afford to get way out ahead of the other cities on some of the changes that we need to make. So it's going to take a lot of cooperation, a lot of work with many cities, but Frankfurt is key.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Mr. Fisher.
Thank you. The question to me is one of partnership. We can talk about the Jefferson County delegation, but as mayor, I will also work with our Metro Council on a peer-to-peer relationship. I don't believe anybody is better than anybody else, and we have more in common than we have apart. So the ability to sit down with the Metro Council, then the Jefferson County delegation, is extremely important as we go to Frankfurt so that our needs as Louisville are aligned. Right now, that's not always the case. The next step is then to build an urban coalition with Fayette County and Northern Kentucky so that the urban delegation has some balance with the rural delegation in Frankfurt. Right now, the rural delegation loves to compete against Louisville. We oftentimes don't have our act together, and we can see the results of that. The urban areas are the job engines. This doesn't have to be an either or. What's good for Louisville is good for the state. I would lobby with the folks in Frankfort to build infrastructure here in advance of our needs. So when a large client comes here, the roads are done, the infrastructure is done, so that they can quickly relocate to Louisville without jumping through a lot of hoops. So to me, it's a question of attracting jobs, of partnerships with all the related constituencies throughout the state and here with the Metro Council.
Mr. Allen.
Yes, I, over the past 4 years, have spent most every session in Frankfort lobbying and discussing a lot of issues that face Louisville, particularly around transportation. And what I have seen there is that we have folks that come from Louisville and they demand that we change and we change and we change because we're not getting our fair share. But you realize this is a democratic process and we've got to start building from the ground up. So as has been said before, building a relationship inside of Jefferson County so that the legislators that are elected from various parts of our community are not told that this is the community agenda, but in fact are part of formulating the community agenda. And only in that way will Jefferson County delegation ever have a unified voice. And only in that way will we actually be able to bridge those partnerships with other the urban delegations around the state. There are so many things that are not devolved to local leadership from the state, some of these regulatory issues, and we have to, from the get-go, be working in Frankfort to try to generate local optioning processes. And these TIF, one of the great things we did in the past decade was to get the TIF process going so that we could keep some of our revenues here. Well, that's what we need to be. A lot of great cities around this country know that local optioning, whether it be sales taxes or other taxes, are incredibly important tools that we can use. And only if we start building from the ground up, including everybody in our delegation, understanding it's a democratic process, and go to Frankfort as a unified voice to give our own city the opportunity to make some of that progress.
Ms. White.
Thank you. This reminds me of the quote, showing up is half the battle. I've been to Frankfort before to lobby for Dress for Success and for WIPAL and for other issues, and was involved with Clout last year when they tried to do work to get payday loan places and check into cash places changed so that some of the clients that go there are not unfairly attacked financially. And when leaders came to that Clout meeting, they said, my gosh, if we had you guys show up in Frankfort and lobby this, we would make changes immediately. And I think that that's true. It is about teamwork. It's about the Jefferson County delegation. And it is about creating a teamwork that we can all, as a state, move forward. There is an attitude now that downtown development is economic development, and I would say that that's mirrored with Frankfort, that Louisville economic development does impact the state. But we have to get an attitude change that the entire state, that we're all in this together working and moving forward.
Mr. Thieneman.
Can I have her 30 seconds, because I want more than 90 on this one. Right. This is something I'm very passionate about. I promise you, you don't have to be a strong mayor to get things done in Frankfort. I have already, as a private citizen, has turned two bills into law that made major changes in Louisville. And I'm working on the third one right now. And yesterday I spoke in front of the committee, the Senate committee. I was right behind David Williams and a couple other ones that had spoken. And the votes have always been split, Republican and Democrat. So I had the challenge to see if I could possibly say the right things and say the truth and make it bipartisan. I am going after a bill to make budget transparency a big issue in this city. I told them yesterday that Tuesday night I was sitting in my truck listening to the governor talk about his budget and how he was going to plan. I'm going to talk real fast. But the governor needed to pass his budget, but I told the senators, thank God for senators and House members to have a say at the table. This mayor does not have anybody accountable to him over the budget. This budget transparency bill, Senate Bill 80, will give the council, give the other members a say at the table, and we passed 11-0. 11 yeses, Democrats and Republicans said, this needs to be done. So thank you.
The answer to your question is no, but thank you for asking. Mr. King?
Thank you. Let me just say first, in terms of budget transparency, we hear a lot about that. As president of the Metro Council, I was the first president to create a committee on government accountability, and I actually appointed a Republican member of our council as chair of that committee. Kelly Downard. Kelly and I are fellow CPAs, and he and I had worked together years ago when we were kids at Ernst & Young, and I had a lot of confidence in his independence and his ability to do the job. I do think that when you get into budget transparency, though, you need to be sure you understand what you're asking for, and you need to understand what the data really means. Just having data doesn't necessarily help you understand it. As a CPA and as a budget chair this year, I look forward to working with my colleagues to make sure that we have transparency throughout the entire process. With respect to the Jefferson County delegation, I think largely they are ineffective as a standalone unit. Unless they get the support and collaboration of the other legislators out in the state, they can't bring the bacon home to Louisville. They have to wheel and deal with those guys. I'm a past president of the Kentucky Bankers Association. I have relationships in virtually every county in the state, with virtually every legislator in the state. Because of that, I think I would be in a unique position to help the Jefferson County legislators work with local legislators out in the state.
Thank you. We will start this next question with you and work our way back, okay? It's 90 seconds, and it's, again, sort of a two-part question, but really not so much. With the expansion and development of parks in our area and the wonderful parks that are being planned and developed, how would you propose that residential and commercial development around the parks will live in harmony with the parks? Do you favor development around the parks? Mr. King.
Well, you know, the short answer is yes. I think the entire concept of not developing around the parks makes no sense. 21st century parks and what the Jones family's been working on, I think is going to be a great example of opportunities for developers. And the way I think that should be done is that there should be nodes that are created throughout that park system that allows access for developers to create streets that enter into the park area. Much like Cherokee Park. You know, when you go back and look at the Olmsted system, I guess at the core of it was at the University of Louisville and all the different parkways that go out and all the different parks. And, you know, at one time, Iroquois Park and Cherokee Park, they were in the suburbs. You took a horse and carriage to get to them. And today, they are clearly instrumental in the life of our city. So I think that the new parks that are being built, yes, there should be development opportunities around them. Certainly, it has to be controlled properly, but it's a great opportunity, maybe one of the largest economic development projects we will have in the next 30 or 40 years in this city. The other comment I would make is if we were trying to create the Highlands today, planning and zoning probably wouldn't allow it. That's something that I want us to be thinking about as we look at the planning and zoning process.
Thank you, Mr. King. Mr. Thieneman.
Century 21st parks is something that we have to embrace. You know, Louisville does not have beaches. They don't have mountains to ski. So we're going to have to make our own amenities. And when I was up in Frankfort, I volunteered for Senator Dan Syme during the session. And I had the opportunity to meet with Mr. Jones and his son over 21st Century Parks. He was seeking some money for his project. So we spent a lot of time talking about that and talking about development around there. And we absolutely need development around this park. This could be a regional a gem for the city of Louisville. It would be like no other. I mean, taking a cruise, you can go on a canoe ride right now and go through and look at all the potential sites. As a developer, I love going through there and just seeing what could be there. And if we can control that, it'll be that much nicer for the people. Besides living in it, we could have it around to where the other citizens of Louisville can take part in the park system. But we need development around there, but we also need to make sure that who's in control of the development is paying for the issues. MSD is spending $400,000 of their money. They say, but it's our money, and we're $3 billion in debt, and nobody's talking about that, but they're spending their money in the park system outside of sewer issues. But that's a whole nother issue that I would love to talk about after my
Thank you. Ms. White?
Yes, I am for development around the parks, and personally, it's something that I enjoy. I live in the Highlands, and my boys and I use Hogan's Fountain and Big Rock and all of the park system already that's Cherokee. I do also agree with the two other gentlemen that it should be smart development. But when we get to smart development, I don't think that government red tape needs to be involved either. Smart development that people can use it how we use Cherokee Park and Seneca Park, but not necessarily a longer drawn out process. I do think that this could be a tourist attraction, our 21st century parks, where people from all over the community come in and use retail and commercial and residential to get people more involved in Louisville. So the short answer is that yes, I favor development around the parks and hope that it does mirror some of the things that are done in the Highlands.
Mr. Allen.
I appreciate the reference to the Olmsted Parks because when you talk to the Joneses, obviously, that is the basic concept, derivative concept of what these parks are supposed to be about. They are supposed to be public investment in preserving land around which our citizens can gather and around which positive, great quality development can happen, because you simply need to look at what we have in this community, in the Highlands, out Northwestern Parkway and Shawnee neighborhood, the development that happened Southern Parkway. So we know how this works, and it's that long-range plan. It's not simply a park. It's the plan for the transportation systems nearby and the development that happens. We have a land use code that, quite frankly, talks about town center models and gives us the tools to, in fact, have that proper development around there. But we have to make sure, once again, planning to get ahead of the curve so that all the developers know that they have the infrastructure that's relevant for the kind of development that we as a community, all of the citizens, all of the stakeholders have involved. And then we need to continue that same knowledge that we know of how that's done in the past and apply that around the existing parks that we have. The investments we're making around Cherokee Park moving out into the neighborhood, the same thing needs to start happening down Newcut and Kenwood at the Colonial Gardens. There are ample opportunities for these amenities to drive the positive development where our citizens live. And I'm really, really excited that that's the way this city is continuing to think, but we've learned it from what this city's done in the past and the quality of development.
Mr. Fisher.
20 years from now, we will have the world's best urban edge. And it will be because of all the work, the thoughtful work that you all have done, our existing code does, our customer-friendly attitude will do around 21st century parks. We have that opportunity right in front of us right now. We have something unique in the world that, if we seize it, will make us an economic development attractor. I don't know what type of jobs are going to come here because of our 100-mile loop that's going to be created, but we know that people from all over the world will be attracted to that. The 100-mile bicycle loop, you know, which is going to connect the parks and downtown, to me is symbolic. You know, it's like a wedding ring for the community. It can pull us together through bike paths, through walk paths, around parks. We're going to have walkable communities. We're going to have green infrastructure. Green infrastructure is good for business. It's good for the people that live there as well. So this is a great opportunity that we have in front of us. We have great opportunities to connect with Jefferson Memorial Forest in southwest Jefferson County that most people don't even know about. But that can be our Brown County here, where people can come and enjoy the outdoors. It's a great camping environment. It's a wonderful opportunity for Fairdale and their town village to hook into the forest as well. So we have what the Olmsted Parks did for us 100 years ago. We have that right in front of us right now, and it's going to be exciting to see how we take advantage of that as a community, balancing the environment and attracting people to our community.
And now, Mr. Green.
I'm very grateful to those who have developed the 21st Century Park to the point that it is now. It's a great concept. This is not about the park. This is about, well, it is about the park. It's about access to the park, for one. That's one of the ground rules, access to the park. But it's also about the area surrounding the park. Let's deal with access. I've heard time and time again, I can leave my office downtown and be on Floyd's Fork, putting a canoe in 20 minutes. Sure, you may be able to do that. But there are many, many citizens in this town who are not going to have access to that park because TARC, our bus system, does not go there with any frequency that serves the greater community. Part of leadership is having the courage to disagree. And I am very concerned about development around the park. We have blighted neighborhoods. We have abandoned industrial and commercial sites. And I don't want to see those dollars moving out of Louisville when we need those dollars focused to take care of what we already have. Go ahead with the parks, but let's go ahead wisely. And
thank you, Mr. Green. Seems like it's been quite a while since we've heard from Mr. Heiner. He's still here. There's an advantage, though, in going last. So if you would, we'll start the clock and you get going.
Okay. Thank you. First, direct answer to the question, parks are for people. I am thankful that Louisville developed its Olmsted Parks 100 years ago, and I am thankful for the Jones family, the Jones family and their initiative in 21st century parks. What has been created is a park system that is the true sizzle of Louisville, that cities twice the size of Louisville would give their eye teeth for to have a park system like we have. So the question is, should we put it under a bushel basket, or should we allow the quality of life that comes from living in proximity to a park be the attractor to Louisville to improve the quality of life? I mean, what's better than being able to jog out of your neighborhood or push a stroller out of your neighborhood and go down the trails along Floyd's Fork? What an attractor that is for the best jobs in the country. Another reason to come to Louisville. So we've got a great park system, and it's the sizzle of Louisville, and we should allow residential development around the park the way we've done at Cherokee Park, and what great neighborhoods have been created as a result of that development.